And welcome back to the newest installment of the Bull Time Investor. Once again, my name is Corey Marlowe, and I am joined by Mr. Scott Hartman.
Hey, guys.
And Mr. Adam Johnston.
Hello.
And we actually have Adam Holt, who is the founder and CEO of AssetMap, back on for our newest installment, as we kind of wanted to dive into a little bit more into fintech and kind of how it works within our ecosystem of financial advising and financial planning. So, Adam, welcome back. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me. Great to spend some time again with you.
Absolutely. Scott, you want to start us off?
Yeah. So Adam, when you hear the words fintech, how do you define that word?
It's basically my new fishing rod is what I'm supposed to be using when I'm
there
not
you go.
Working.
I love it.
Find fintech. Not your fintech. Got a funny word. It's actually, you know, 20, it's actually transitioning now to wealth tech and advice tech.
Wealth.
So tech, it's tech. Getting more and more specific. Like fintech is including banking stuff now and credit
for
cards.
Sure.
So yeah, what do I think about it? I think this space is growing massively. There's new apps, new technology on the field every single day. You know, I think a lot of it will inspire new stuff. A lot of it will fail. Some of the AI stuff that's coming out is pretty exciting, but I don't think everybody's ready for it yet. So it's a moving, fast pace area, I think, for sure.
Where do you think AssetMap fits into that broader ecosystem?
Right in the middle.
Right.
Where does it fit? You know, I like to think that it fits between everything. In many ways, AssetMap was an amoeba. And I joke about that because it doesn't really fit in a perfect box. It was an attempt to solve problems that we had as advisors that weren't being solved by our planning tool and our CRM and our portfolio. So we just try to cover the gaps of those tools that we used only 2-5% of in the first place.
Sure.
So let's just double down on creating something easy to use for those aspects. So in a strange way, we don't have a category. I've tried to carve out this category of what I call advice engagement. It's really the point where you and I as professionals do our best work, which is helping people make financial decisions and decide what's a priority and what's not. That's where I want to live, because I think that it's the human advisor that's the last frontier of differentiation. And so I want to just double down on advisor intelligence, not artificial one. And I think that's where it's changing, guys, is the artificial intelligence concepts are trying to seep into pretty much all tech. I think it'll make some big disruptions, but in the end, it'll actually serve us.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I would say as of late, recently, at least for our firm at Financial Partners, I mean, you know, it's my belief that our relationship with our clients is, you know, we can leverage technology like AI and AssetMap and you know, all these things to maintain, you know, somewhat of a competitive edge. But at the end of the day, it's the human interaction that I think that our clients enjoy the most. And I'll speak for our firm and at least for Scott and Adam on our side that I believe that we enjoy the most. And it's for nice sure. to see a lot of these, you know, industry specific technologies start getting developed. And we like to think that we kind of entertain any of them if it's going to help us, help our clients and the financial planning process, and B, make our clients feel, you know, more self-assured that we're working in their best interest, for sure.
That's really true. There's really like four areas, I would tell you, that are really kind of interesting. Do you know the two areas impacted most by, let's say, the recent tech wave over the last 10 years? It's really kind of funny. I'll just cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Meeting scheduling. One of the biggest pain in the butts for all of us was solved and used and adopted pretty much across the board, right? Calendly, Schedule One, yep. HubSpot, all these tools that allow us to schedule and get in front of our clients the way dentists have been doing it for years. Finally, financial advisors figured this out. Like, that's really low tech, right? So at the end of the day, it's to do what? It's to get the humans together with the advisor, right? We facilitated that. We saved time. AI is starting to really jump into this note-taking and transcripting, which we think pretty much everybody will have by next year. Yeah. I say everybody.
Yeah, we're utilizing
like
it now.
Everybody.
We just started a couple weeks ago.
Right, exactly. And clients are okay with it. Remember how uncomfortable they were with Zoom in the beginning?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so WebEx?
Right. Like, so right.
Where's the button?
Yeah.
How do I lock? No, it's okay. Yeah. It was
just
like
a pandemic to change that.
That's right. And now everybody's doing it. So I think there's some really, the irony behind it is that the tech that we've all used helps us be better advisors. Taking notes and transcripting, fantastic. Why didn't we have a transcriber in every meeting? That's brilliant, okay? Getting us into the, you know, calendar, these are all admin functions. So the irony behind it is that the tech that we are all adopting is just helping us deliver more value as a human. So I, as much as I think the tech space is changing, it actually is staying the same. It's just allowing us to do the right, I would say, best use of our time.
Awesome. We want to segue a little bit into like technology's role in financial advisory firms. And what do you think the most significant challenge your advisors are facing today? And how do you think technology can help them overcome it?
I guess the thing I hear all the time is this data doesn't talk to that data.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the integration argument, and it's been around for as long as I can remember. Ironically, the best advisors, you guys know it pretty well. You put me with a client, you know, a piece of paper, a pen, and a like a yellow pad and a calculator, and I'm pretty dangerous. Sure. I still know how to, you know, have conversations to educate, to explain how things work and to do some quick math. That being said, I think there's desperation around making sure that there's no rekeying of information, or if the data lives in one system, it can move to the other. It's almost an obsession today. I actually don't think it is the critical thing, because it turns out once you put all your data into these platforms, then you don't use it, right? Nobody looks at the data. So yeah. It's like, why do you need to go through all this effort to get the data there and you're not even reviewing it? So, you're not using it. I think long term, big data will be a really interesting play when we start to see people, need this. We just rolled that out in Asset Map, right? Give me an idea of where the client base is, who has this but doesn't have that, and where there are risks and opportunities to then be proactive. That's a total different story. But I think in terms of integrating all these tools, it's a little bit overkill at this point, and it's not really necessary. Focus on what's really critical that needs to talk, and then go back to work.
And that's a good point too, because it's a great segue. I'm curious to see if you still see any gaps, right? Because we talked about this on the last episode, a financial advisor for 20 plus years, like we all have been. But do you? Being on the other side, being as, developing software and solutions to provide to advisors, then in turn to provide to our clients. Have you recognized any additional gaps? I mean, obviously you guys knocked it out of the park with Asset Map, which is why we have you on, and we love your solution for our clients. But is there anything else out there right now that you're just like, hey, this is maybe just completely missing, wow, we could really adjust this, kind of like how we use Asset Map for our clients, right? Which is kind of seeing where's the holes.
Yeah. I like to think that I see those gaps, and we've actually rolled out, three functions in the last month that nobody has in the entire marketplace. And there's more coming, just because I just want to go where the puck is, not now, because it's going to be there. Not where the puck is going or where everybody thinks it's going. And right. Where I think it's going is we need to talk about family dynamics. So we just rolled out a full family tree, completely movable, drag and droppable, to construct an attempt at constructing the organization of what a family looks like, multiple generations, business partners, interested parties. So we can literally put a map together of the people and the relationships, because that way we can navigate it, understand who's important, of course, also manage building larger households and relationships and referrals and so forth. Beneficiary audits, we don't really see anyone doing that. So we just rolled that out. The ability to look at all the beneficiaries of all your accounts, say like, hey, does this make any sense? Nobody checked this. And then now we have legal documents in Asset Map now. So you could say, hey, you have a will, you have guardian, wait a minute, you don't have a POA, why not? So we can be better advocates, I think, when we deliver more conversations that are easy to have without it being a total lift. And I think you're going to see us focus a lot more on that. I can't really say what everybody else sees is the gap in the market. I think that ultimately it's about facilitating conversations, because if you're the quarterback of the family, you earn a place at the table. And for long term. And that's what I think we all want as business owners as well.
Yeah. I'm glad you went there with the conversation, Adam, because I do have a question that kind of piggybacks off of that. And we know there's going to be a massive move of assets over the next several years, from clients passing away, advisors retiring. How can we use fintech? How can we use Asset Map to help us with prospecting, gathering of those assets, not only the next generation, but just with maybe your surviving spouse?
Oh, well, you totally hit right on it, because the key to the whole relationship map, as we call it, is to show a client either before the family meeting or during, saying, listen, there's dependencies or interdependencies here. and I have knowledge of how to navigate them. Do you want that knowledge, right? That's the advisor speaking to the client, right? I know how to help your parents transition these assets to you in the most efficient way, reduce the taxes, deal with the probate, make sure it's in trust, protect it from your ex-spouse, right? I know how to deal. Do you want that information? But I don't know that, nor do I have permission to talk about it until I can show them a visualization that shows that I know what's going on and I see some areas, right? It's like see something, say something. Bringing also next generation, we're seeing the baby boomers bring their adult children into the conversations early. And you know they're bringing their idea with, okay, yeah, I got a robo-advisor for less than a quarter of a penny that I pay for something, right? Not really. And they bring a bias that comes to the table. And if we don't get in front of that now, it's very likely that next generation will unravel all of our good work just because they don't know. So we have almost a responsibility to our existing clients who are older to make sure that we engage their younger generation so they don't unwind all the good planning we've done. And I think that's why the relationship map is really the next frontier of where we need to go. Stop necessarily talking about finances for a second and talk about relationship, interdependency, meaning, and who's going to be at this party in a couple of years. And let's make sure that, you know, they can eat gluten or whatever their issues are. Let's just bring them in and understand their allergies now so we can serve them and retain those assets the long term.
I think that family tree will really help us too, because we're starting to roll out where we're doing those family meetings, maybe a family mission statement. So able to have them there, being able to build that all out is just going to be a huge help for us with our current clients.
Cool. Well, you'll be happy to know we're actually rolling out mission goals and values in the first quarter of next year. So that could be fully embedded.
Sure. Fantastic.
Yeah. This is what you said. You wanted to value this.
That's right.
All right. There it is.
I think one last question here. So what advice would you give to advisors who are hesitant to adopt fintech solutions in their practices?
Well, if you don't adopt it, it's fine. We'll replace you in a couple of years anyway. So I think it's like saying I don't really like using forks at the dinner table. Like it's a little, we're over it.
We're
okay,
there right now. Yeah, for sure.
You've grown up. And I think the reality is that that's the joke of it, right? The reality is that those advisors who are using technology tools and learn how to navigate them are going to be much more appealing to next generation. It's true that the X and Y generation specifically are looking for digital experiences first. If you can't provide them some aspect of, hey, you're with it, you're on top of it, how are you going to argue that you're also on top of their investments and what's going on in products and the news and the craziness, right? There's no way that you're going to be relevant to them unless they're just looking for a hermit and they want to, you know, live in a tree with you. But you're not going to be able to scale that, right? Like, so that's a niche, I guess. Hermit niche is fine.
There's a few in each community.
I don't think there's a lot of
for sure. Yeah.
That's right.
Let's not everybody chase that in our practice.
Yeah. That's right. It'll be a pretty funny logo too, I think.
Love it.
The hermit niche.
So, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, anyway. Adam, we really appreciate your time again today. I know you're a busy guy and we love what you're doing over there in that space.
Thank
we love
you.
Asset Map. Our clients are super engaged with it. As well as both Adam Scott and myself here at Financial Partners, and yeah, keep doing what you're doing, man. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your time, and we'll wrap up here. And thank you everyone for joining us. And until the next time, we'll catch you at the Bull Time Investor. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA/SIPC.